Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Fourth and final hour. Darren Donick and Chase here on this Wednesday afternoon. About an hour and a half away from kicking things off in Pittsburgh. Yeah, Wednesday afternoon NFL action. Ravens and Steelers, they are going to play in Pittsburgh, and they will play here on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. The Browns coming to town, the matchup of 2-8-3 teams, Titans and Browns. Remember, they kicked off their season against each other in Cleveland last year. Now it'll be in Nashville later in the season, and both teams come in to this game having a successful season to this point. Now we bring in Gerard Cherry, who won three Super Bowls with the Patriots. Now he's doing radio up in Cleveland. Elijah, by the way, I'm getting feedback. Okay, there we go. Much better. It has disappeared on us. He's doing radio on KNR up in Cleveland. He was got three Super Bowls with the Patriots, and he now joins us. Gerard, how you doing?
I am doing excellent. And why did you have to bring up what took place last year? Because that was a nightmare and a half. The city of Cleveland was ready to explode last year, and Derrick Henry on one screenplay took all of our hearts.
I was there, Gerard. I know what happened, and it was not pretty. In the stands in the second half, I saw fights around me. They were angry at what was going on.
We thought that was going to be the coordination of the Browns being Super Bowl champions, because we were definitely off-season champs that particular season. So, yeah, that was a hurt feeling type of a day that day.
We had Joe Thomas on the show yesterday. And don't you do a podcast with him? Is that right?
No, nah, that's Andrew you think of Hawkins. But I am.
Oh, he does it with Andre Hawkins. That's right. My bad. My wires got mixed there. But you're right. He does do one with Hawkins. But let's just start quickly before we talk about the team there in your market. You played with Mike Vrabel. With the Patriots. I said,
yes,
you were part of three Super Bowl victories with the Patriots. What can you tell us about the makeup of him when you guys played together?
Mike Vrabel was the funniest teammate I ever had in my life. And that said a lot, because I've had a lot of teammates. I was blessed to play a very long time in the NFL. Obviously did college, high school, peewee, pop Warner, however you want to call it. But Vrabel was something special, man. He was the only guy that I could think of where Bill Belichick would let him actually parody him and say certain things and just keep levity in a very, very serious environment. So playing with Vrabel, I probably should pay him money for the stuff that he used to say in meetings to keep me alert and awake, because he was that funny as a teammate.
I'm sorry. I think I've got a bad connection in my headset. Did you say funny in Mike Vrabel?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I was hearing you correctly. We have not heard a lot of funny Mike Vrabel since he's been the head coach here in Nashville. He's a little bit more reserved as a head coach.
Sarcasm, he's definitely had some sarcasm.
Sarcasm. Funny, I don't know, cracking the room up. I don't think we've seen that from head coach Mike Vrabel.
No, stand-up comedy level. I mean, he is that funny. So you guys are getting the... I'm going to be serious head coach Mike Vrabel, and there's a bunch of facets to him. He's a fascinating, very intelligent individual, so I'm not surprised by his success by any stretch of the imagination, because he's just a smart guy. As a matter of fact, quick story, when he was still playing, he told me, yeah, man, I think I'm going to get into coaching after I'm finished playing. I'm like, really? Yeah, I think my plan will first go to Ohio State, coach there for a minute, then transition to the pros. And that's exactly what he did.
That's exactly what he did. Well, I feel like we're getting ripped now that you've said that we're not getting the other side to Mike Vrabel. We do. We always get serious Mike Vrabel, for the most part. Even when they're 8-3, we got serious this week. Let's talk about the 8-3 Browns, though. What has changed, Gerard? Because you're right. They came in as paper champions last year. They got so much praise in the offseason, and everybody was already crowning them division champs, and they were going to be a playoff team, and we know how the rest played out. Nobody was talking about them this offseason. They didn't have the hype coming into this season, and here they sit 8-3.
Yeah, well, to the credit of the league for giving them a very, I won't say easy schedule, but a very favorable schedule. They've definitely beaten the teams that they're supposed to beat, and if you throw the Colts in there beating them, that was a pivotal game. But a loss to the Ravens, a loss to the Raiders, and a loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers still has my football team question its identity of where it really stands in the upper echelon of football, because this week is going to be a test of tests. And we're well aware that we cannot play against the Tennessee Titans in the same manner or fashion that we played against the Houston Texans, the same way in which we played against the Cincinnati Bengals, and the same way in which we played this last game as well. Because if we do play that way, we will certainly lose.
We're talking to Jerod Cherry. Very entertaining conversation so far. So, Jerod, where is the biggest area that they need to improve to start to say, okay, if they're good enough to make the playoffs? You're right, they've had a favorable schedule, but they've beaten the teams. They are 8-3. They're in a great position here. What's the biggest area to improve between now and the end of the season?
It's amazing. I'm going to say this, but it's the truth, and they recognize it because they keep saying, if you go here, you hear the press conferences, all the guys are saying the same thing. We haven't played our best football yet. And the reason why they haven't played their best football yet is that they haven't played complementary football yet. And what I mean by that is you've not had a game in which all three phases have dominated, in which all three phases had high levels of execution, and it's been what we call in the business a clean football game. Some games the defense is standout. Some games it's the offense, and the special team kind of ho-hum or does its thing. We've yet to have a game in which all three phases have flat-out dominated the opponent and complemented each other.
As I look at what the Browns have done here, they've done a great job of putting themselves in position down the stretch to be able to run and run the clock out, the four-minute drill. Mike Vrabel was talking about that today, and they have one heck of a running game with Chubb and Hunt. That seems to be their formula.
Oh, that certainly is a formula. Pretty much first quarter, first half, grind, grind, grind. 1 yard here, 2 yards there, content with that, punt, be on your way. Come third, fourth quarter, it starts to wear on the defenses. And the next thing you know, Chubb breaks off a 20 to 30, 40-yard run. Kareem Hunt gets 10 or 15-yard run. Throw a screen in there. Things start opening up on a play-action standpoint in that 4 minutes that we're talking about, and they just grind it out because teams simply don't have anything for two highly talented fresh backs. So that's definitely been the formula for the past four or five games, in which, especially since Nick Chubb returned, in which they won football games.
They get Myles Garrett back. We all sort of have an assumption. A guy goes on the COVID list. These are big-time athletes, so you kind of assume that they'll be back and it'll be Myles Garrett. What do you know about his symptoms? He's missed two games. How is he feeling? And he's a guy that, as we know, when he's at his best, he's as good as anybody in his position.
Well, to the Browns' credit, and Mike, I'm pretty sure, borrowed this from the school of Bill Belichick, he didn't tell us anything. you're just not going to get that information. And I'm from that school of thought as well, is that you keep everything in-house and you give the team no advantages. So we really don't know much about what Miles is going through. But I'll say this. You have to imagine that if you're coming off of COVID and that you can't be up to full strength right away. I don't see how you could possibly be because it's such a debilitating virus. So obviously going to get him back, and it's really great to have him in a uniform. But my concern is not really about pressuring the pass. And granted, all due respect to Tannehill, it's how in the world do we slow down Derrick Henry? Because, I mean, you will test the edges. So that's where Miles is at. But I figure that Brave and company are going to attack the interior of the defense. And figuring if Jackson from Jacksonville got 130 yards last week, what in the world would Derrick Henry do against this defense?
Jerod Cherry is with us, ESPN Cleveland.
Did we lose Chase?
I'm still here.
I think we
Chase
lost
disappeared.
Chase. He did. I want to ask you real quick, Jerod, just because I don't remember you ever playing for the Browns, and I don't think you're from the Cleveland area. How did you end up in the Cleveland area after your playing days?
I always tell people this, and they find it so funny. The weather brought me here. But
what?
The reality is,
things nobody says.
No, my ex-wife was from here, and we had a child together. So when I was finished, I wanted to be in my son's life, and they were out here. So that's how I got out here in Cleveland, and I've been here for, good Lord, 15 years now.
Wow.
Only been embraced by the community here, and you would think that I played for the Browns, how I get treated. So nothing but love here in Cleveland. Love the community. Love what it represents. It's a very sports-centric area in Northeast Ohio, and they appreciate the things I have to say.
Jerod Cherry with us. Sorry, I got zapped there. You know, 2020, you never know what's going to happen. Working from home still. But my on Myles Garrett on that front, since last year and the suspension and coming back from that, how have you seen him more or less grow up and maybe, I guess, kind of have more of an appreciation for the position that he's in?
Oh, that's a great question. Great question. And how I've seen him grow up is it started early on in the offseason, actually, of what we did have one, in that prior to last year, Myles was always talking about, I want to be the MVP. I want to be the defensive MVP. I want this personal accolade. I want to do this for myself. And then this year, you're not hearing that from Myles Garrett. What you're hearing from Myles Garrett is talking about team first mentality. What can I do for the football team? And he has certainly done a lot to contribute to this football team having a record of 8-3. So I would say the biggest part of his maturation process is simply not making it about Myles Garrett, but making it about the Cleveland Browns.
As you know, being in a locker room, that type of mentality is sometimes contagious. And I think watching this team and seeing 8-3, you have to think that it's happened throughout the room. Is that a fair assessment, that maybe they've all grown up to a certain extent?
They certainly have, especially in comparison to last year, because last year was all about hype with no substance, because we all bought into it around here that, hey, we're going to the Super Bowl. But I think they learned from that and give Kevin Stefanski a lot of credit as a rookie head coach in that he was the right recipe for this football team and getting them balanced, getting them disciplined, and having them be humble and realize that, hey, you can't just be projected that. You have to go out there and actually earn it. And that's what they're doing. But we're in the infancy, I still believe, of the Cleveland Browns being a really good football team. You don't build a culture, in my opinion, in a season. It takes time. I mean, I learned that with Braves at New England. We were in the formation of it, but obviously you see that lasted about 20 years. Well, you can make the argument it's still going on, that we were helped build when we were there in the early 2000s. But I do believe the Browns are up and coming. Are they on your level yet? I don't think so. I really think it's going to be, we have to play our best football. Our margin of error is like none, and whenever you have those type of situations in a football game, you generally don't win them.
And I think some of that, too, is on your quarterback. So as somebody that you're a DB, you studied quarterbacks and how to defend them. What's next for Baker Mayfield and his development to try and get to that next level of being one of the top-tier QBs in the league?
Well, really, for Baker Mayfield, it comes down to believing and trusting what you see out there. There were a couple games in which defense fooled him, tricked him, and then also having a tumultuous season last year in which I believe his confidence got shattered, and he was in a place where he didn't trust himself. He's slowly but surely getting back to that place, but there are still episodes in which a very routine, easy throw for a touchdown he doesn't connect with, and that's because he's trying too hard. So really, just as a fan base here in Cleveland, we need to be patient with Baker, because there are some throws that he'll make, and you'll be like, that's why you were taking the first pick overall in the draft. And then there are some plays where you're like, where in the hell did that come from? So right now it's kind of off and on, off and on. But I feel it's trending more towards being on.
All right, last thing from your end. Through your safety eyes, that's the position you played. When you look at the two starting safeties for the Titans and Kevin Byard and Kenny Vaccaro, what do you see?
I see guys who get after you. I love watching them on tape. As a matter of fact, I was watching them play against the Colts. And there was a particular play where one of the Colt players does this little fine nuance things. Like, say a guy steps over another player, that's a sign of disrespect. And so one of the players for the Colts did that, and they didn't take none of that. And they pushed him back. And I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. You have to be aggressive like that. You have to be physical. Though the game is trying to go more towards just being about fast breaks from a touchdown standpoint, it has to still settle with those roots, and those guys bring that to the table. And I know Vrabe loves that and appreciates that, and they're really reflective of how he played, because he was a very physical player. He'd get after you, despite me telling you guys that, hey, he's a jokester. He really is, but he was also a very good, talented, physical player as well.
Well, he'll get after you in a press conference if you ask the wrong question. I can promise you that. Gerard, we know where you got that from. We really appreciate the visit. It's going to be a fun one, we think, here on Sunday in Nashville. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you down the road. Keep up the good work.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
All right, that is Gerard Cherry with KNR up in Cleveland. He's been doing sports talk radio up there, and he's also, I think, a part of their Browns broadcast on game days as well. Good stuff from him. I don't think we've ever talked to him over the years, but tells a different story about Mike Vrabel. Quite the jokester.
Yeah.
If he would have fun with that, you know, it would be cool to hear him do Bill Belichick, but I don't think any media person's ever going to get him to do that. Maybe if he joins a player podcast, he would do that, but he's not going to do that with the media.
No, probably not. But just a little behind the curtain, as we were, you know, getting somebody from Cleveland, I talked to you know, Meredith Kane, who used to work here, one of our former colleagues now in Cleveland, said, "Who would you recommend?" And she said, "Gerard," because he played with Vrabel. And I was like, "Oh, okay, cool. We've talked a lot about Mike Vrabel this week. He does radio there, so that would be cool to get insight in." And it was. So it all worked out, and that was awesome.
I want to talk to you about a big college basketball matchup that's about to take place. We had Michigan State and Duke last night, Kansas and Kentucky, Western Kentucky fell to Louisville. But there's going to be a big one, Gonzaga and Baylor. They're going to be going toe-to-toe, probably for the top ranking in college basketball. And DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is going to give all you college basketball fans who sign up right now a chance to win $100 when betting on either Gonzaga or Baylor to win this big matchup. Plus, you'll get a deposit bonus up to $1,000 when signing up and using the promo code 1025GAME. Remember, all you have to do is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code 1025GAME, and when you sign up, you'll get your shot to turn $1. That's all you have to put on it, $1 into $100 when betting on either Gonzaga or Baylor to win the game. Once again, using the code 1025GAME during the sign-up process for a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Don't forget our NFL Game of the Week, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. It'll be the Cowboys and Ravens Tuesday night, 7:05 kickoff. Yep, they're going to have to move that. They were supposed to play tomorrow night. That game has been pushed to Tuesday. Steelers and Ravens, a little bit less than an hour away from kicking off in Pittsburgh. And that game will be aired on ESPN 102.5 The Game next Tuesday night. So remember that. Next Tuesday evening, the Titans, and we'll probably have this in pick six, and I'll probably pick wrong because my picks stink in pick six, but they've done a really good job of coming out with the air quotes scripted plays, right? The teams do, and they have come out and made the opponent pay. I think that's three straight games in a row they've come out on their first drive and scored a touchdown. Do we think that will be the case again on Sunday?
That they will script the plays or that they'll score a touchdown?
No, that they'll score a touchdown.
On the first drive, is what he's saying.
On the first drive.
Well.
Interesting. Interesting question.
Because it's good because, you know, it's a long game to go, but, I mean, when you can jump on your opponent, grab the lead, set a tone, I certainly think it doesn't hurt.
Well, they weren't.
It's not going to guarantee a victory, but it certainly doesn't hurt to jump out on your opponent.
They went through a stretch where they weren't getting off to good starts. I know it became an emphasis for them for a while. I think it's important to I think your chances of winning go way up if you can make the Browns come from behind, because as we've talked about really throughout the show, the Browns and their running attack has been huge, and it's particularly been huge at the end of games when they've had the lead. So if they can go down and score, my goodness, that would help a ton, for sure. Now, are they going to do it? How do we know? I mean, they've been in a groove. Their offense. I heard Bill Cowher and how he was marveling at halftime of the game against the Colts, how simple the Titans' offense is, because it's not that complicated. It's not like an Andy Reid drawing up all kinds of these brilliant things. It's basic principles, and it all starts with number 22, right? You're faking it to them. You got your basic running plays, your zone blocking, and you got play action. And you almost know the patterns. You can picture them in your mind when you think about where they're scoring. The crossing routes to Davis, the crossing routes to Brown. It's pretty remarkable. And it looks like, and I don't know if we've mentioned this today, but I think there is some signs that they could get Adam Humphries back this week. So that would be nice.
Yeah, he's practicing today. I was just about to mention that if you get him back, you add him to the mix, that's only going to help matters.
What he does well. Yeah, so there's another little dimension that they can add.
But you make a good point, Willie. I mean, the offense almost is predictable. I mean, you know what they're going to do, but they keep doing it, and it keeps working.
Right.
And it's because...
Which is, I think, the best way to go.
Sure. No, absolutely. And a lot of that, most of that, has to do with the fact that Henry's so hard to bring down, and now that he's in this groove that he's in, it makes it even harder. Plus, you know, they've gotten so good at the play action, you just, you know, go to that, and you never know when it's gonna hit. So until defenses show that they can just completely 100% shut it down, then Arthur Smith is right in just doing what's worked, even if it may come across as predictable.
The Browns' defense does not appear to be, numbers-wise, earth-shattering. They're going to be missing Denzel Ward again. They will get Garrett back, which, of course, he's a game-changer. And, you know, one thing that they're going to have to game plan for is Garrett against, as Tim Hasselbeck said, and it's true, you get your third-string left tackle. And so far, so good, but this is going to be a different challenge here. But I think they've done a good job of scheming their way to since Luan got hurt, give protections to that spot. And thankfully, they got Saffold back last week, which was huge, I thought. So I think, you feel like you can do your thing against this Browns defense, at least statistically on paper. I think they'll have opportunities to run it and then set up all the things they do off of the run.
Do you guys see a similarity? And Willie, you have these, you know, deep dive numbers that you look at, but the similarities in the Browns offense and just their philosophy and the Titans offense. I mean, we know it's the run, you know, they rely heavily on the run. Baker Mayfield, Ryan Tannehill are two different quarterbacks, but it does feel very similar at times when you watch both teams.
I think we heard that from Mike Vrabel today, who was very pleasant, very conversational. He actually talked about that.
He told some jokes.
I don't know if it was the same. I don't know if it's the same system or whatever, but I think you can say that, and I think we also heard it from Gerard Cherry there, that the play action is important for Baker Mayfield. If you can put him in position where he has to throw, I think, you know, I like how he was talking about that he might have lost some confidence in himself. And now you've got a formula that's been working. Can you force him outside of his comfort zone? But if he can just hand it to Chubb, hand it to Hunt, work play action, use his mobility. You hear a lot of talk about that, you know, they're rolling him out. And that's a little bit similar to Tannehill as well, right? Tannehill throws on the run very well. That is their bread and butter. You know, Joe Thomas, this is something to keep in the back of our mind. I try to note, we've had some awesome guests this week. We're getting great perspective. Joe Thomas had a great one on Baker Mayfield, that he throws well when running against the grain, right? He rolls left as a right-handed quarterback and throws well. Not everybody does it well. You know, Patrick Mahomes might be the best of all time at some of these throws that he makes going that way. But Mayfield, he says, actually throws better on the run running left as opposed to running right.
It is going to be interesting to see how this indeed plays out, because a win, whoever wins this game, and I guess you can say they could tie, which does happen in the NFL, unfortunately, these days. A win by somebody puts you in the driver's seat to be playing January football. I don't think either one of them have exactly punched their ticket in. Obviously, Cleveland's got a little bit different dynamic because the Titans are in the lead in their division. The Browns are 8-3, and they're not even leading their division, which is pretty amazing, which tells you the team that's playing today, when you're 10-0, well, that's what happens. But they're not in this thing. They've been having a successful season and have been on the outside looking in for most of the season in the playoff picture. But you punch that ticket, 9 wins with 4 to go, I'd say you're much more entrenched in better playoff ground than you are with that loss, right? Even though I think for the Browns' sake, they probably need it more than the Titans. I don't know if that's a correct way to putting it, but I think the Titans can win their division. I think it's pretty clear the Browns are not going to win their division, right? They're not going to win the division.
I think they're both in really good position to make the playoffs. I think, and for the Browns, making the playoffs, that would be a massive achievement. It's been so long, as we pointed out. That whole division, like you said, it's weird to be 8-3, but also not be right now very close to winning your division. They could be three games behind by the end of the day if the Steelers do what they're in position to do, beat a depleted Ravens team this afternoon. But that whole division is also inflated because they get to play the entire NFC East. So if the Browns just do that and beat the Giants and Jets later this year, that's 10 wins. Even if they don't beat the quality teams that they're playing, they still play the Titans. They also, remember, have the game against the Ravens, which is what been moved to when? Next Tuesday? Is that right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So they've got this and the Ravens. That's everybody in Cleveland's kind of looking, and that's, you know, that their mentality is, we want to show you that we're a good team. We want to show you we can beat good teams. I failed to mention they beat the Colts earlier this year, but if you look at their wins, it's not a list of impressive teams they've beaten. Other than the Colts, it's they've beaten the teams that they should beat, and there's something to be said for that.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, to your point of what you just said, I think the Titans have a little more wiggle room than the Browns do because of the division lead. And so that's kind of where I felt you were going with that, but just because of that, because the AFC North, in my opinion, they're definitely going to get two teams in. They could get three. I mean, if Baltimore turns things around, and I just saw their inactives, they only have two inactives
because
that's all they have.
The Browns have to be watching this game because they have to be, as much as this must be painful to say to them, they've got to be rooting for the Steelers. I mean, they have got to be huge Steelers fans today. Because a loss by the Ravens puts them at 6-5. It's two games behind the Browns.
And what does the Ravens roster look like next Tuesday?
They have said J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram will not be playing today. So they're still on the COVID-19 list.
They're in big trouble today with their numbers. I just wonder how many of those guys come back by next Tuesday. It's a huge question.
I don't know. RG3 has made three starts since 2017.
Right. Will they have Jackson next Tuesday?
Yeah, I know.
Who's the backup today?
I think Elvis Gerback is
not
the backup.
If Trent Dilfer's team wasn't playing, maybe he would be the backup, but I think he's got bigger things to worry about than playing the backup.
Would Kyle Bowler maybe be living in Baltimore?
Kyle Bowler as the backup.
Yeah, bring him up around D-Mace and see what happens.
Yeah. that didn't go over well.
No.
Kyle Bowler was not. I don't think that's what you're looking for.
Trace McSorley.
Oh.
No way.
Wow.
Trace McSorley.
From Penn State.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
I was expecting Anthony Wright to come back.
There's another one you would want.
Anthony Wright started the Christmas night game.
But not
for the
not
Cowboys.
For the Ravens. For the Cowboys. Yep.
There was another obscure Ravens crappy quarterback around before McNair. It was in that era. It was Kyle Bowler-esque.
Well, they had the guy that started the season where they won the Super Bowl and it was replaced by Trent Dilfer was Tony Banks from Michigan State.
Oof.
Dilfer ended up taking the job from him.
There was another one.
They had Vinny Testaverde in the early years of
from Ohio
the Ravens.
State, I think is what I'm thinking of. I don't know. I'll have to look it up.
Scrub Ravens quarterbacks for 200, for 400. We're getting harder as we go. We're going deeper on the list. I'm not thinking of a guy from Ohio State.
I'm not either.
Not for the Ravens.
I don't know.
They haven't produced a ton of NFL quarterbacks. Think about all the guys they pump out the next level.
Troy Smith.
That's right. Heisman Trophy.
Yep.
Ooh, yeah, he had zero significance for them.
They'd probably rather see Elvis Gerback.
I think you're right.
Than Troy Smith.
Elvis Gerback, Randall Cunningham started
Troy
two
Smith,
games that year.
I completely forgot about his existence.
I knew it.
He's
I
a
could
Heisman
see
Trophy
it.
Winner. He's a Heisman Trophy winner.
Right. I could
totally
see it in my head. I could see, you know, number 10. Like, I could see it, and I just couldn't for the life of me.
Wasn't Jeff Blake a backup in Baltimore? We always remember him with the Bengals, but didn't Jeff Blake play for the Ravens?
Now we're getting really deep on the depth chart.
Jeff Blake did, in fact, play for the Ravens in 2002. Mm. He played – so you mentioned the Bengals. Then after that, he was with Elijah Saints for a couple seasons, then the Ravens, then the Cardinals, then the Eagles, then the Bears.
I thought I remember Jeff Blake with the Ravens. Did he start any of those games?
No. Yes. No, he did. He did. He started 10 games.
So he would have started against the Titans.
I guess. Because he started in 2002, he started 10 games. Chris Redmond started six.
Chris Redmond. 2002, was that the division change?
Yes, that would have been the first year with the Texans.
That was the first year, right?
Yeah, so they wouldn't have played necessarily.
Well, hang on. I got my thing. I got my little flip card.
They actually
right here.
Did play each other.
Did they?
They played, yeah. They played in Baltimore in late November.
Imagine this.
And they lost.
13-12. Imagine that. Honk, if you've heard that before. Yeah.
So
losing to the Ravens.
I hadn't thought. They lost to the Ravens 13-12?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Man, I've purged that from my memory. It was in Baltimore, you're saying?
Yep.
Early in the year, late in the year?
Late. Late November.
A lot of field goals in that game. That's almost the entire scoring summary.
Was Jeff Blake the starter?
I would think so. That's why why I remembered it.
Yep.
11 for 24, 109 yards, no touchdowns, one INT.
Not a good fantasy quarterback that day.
No. It is funny, though, to pull up this list of since the Ravens came into existence, the starting quarterbacks that they had before they were able to, you know, I mean, Kyle Bowler started, I guess, in parts of three seasons, but before they got to Flacco and just the revolving door. Jim Harbaugh started 12 games for the Ravens in 1998.
Yeah, they had Harbaugh
with Eric Zier.
And Vinny. Then they Tony Banks and Dilfer. Then they brought in Gerback. And then, as you mentioned, Blake and Redmond, and then Bowler somewhere in there.
Randall Cunningham started two games.
Randall Cunningham. Wow. It was a musical chairs.
I think I'm right on this. I want you to look this up.
And today, RG3 joins the club.
I think Eric Zier started for the Ravens.
That's what I said. No, he did.
Did you say him?
Yeah. In 97, he started three games. In 98, he started four games. Listen to this. 1997, the two starters for the Ravens, Vinny Testaverde, Eric Zier, and then the next year was Jim Harbaugh, Eric Zier.
Jim Harbaugh. Wow. That's right. He played for both Baltimore. He played for the Colts and the Ravens.
Yeah, well, he was,
he was not old enough to play for the Baltimore Colts.
No, I know. But I was. He played for two. He played for, yeah, I know.
I see the connection.
Yeah, you see what I'm trying to word it correctly. But
he was at, what was that, the 95 AFC Championship game against Neil O'Donnell and the Steelers?
Yeah, I was there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were there.
He threw the Hail Mary in the end zone. Yep. I was in that end zone.
Oh, wow.
Three Rivers went deathly silent. Because remember, the year before, they had lost at home in the AFC Championship game to the San Diego Chargers.
Right.
And so everybody was like, really? They're going to lose again? Because they, you know, those teams were loaded. But if you remember, the Chargers upset them. And the Chargers went on to get thumped by the 49ers in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and then the Steelers won that game and got thumped by the Cowboys.
They didn't get thumped by the Cowboys.
Well,
I wouldn't say they got thumped by the Cowboys.
Beat.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want the record to show that it's not always me that takes us down these trivia rabbit holes. I'm not taking the blame for this one. But this is not my fault.
This is this moment in Ravens quarterback history.
Essay Because RG3 is starting today.
The only two that we did not mention, and we'll just give them their due, Stoney Case, whoever that is, and Scott Mitchell.
Scott Mitchell played for the Ravens?
Yep.
Really?
1999.
I remember him Dolphins and Lions. I don't remember him Ravens.
Stoney Case, high school football legend in Texas, won a high school state championship with Permian after the year that Friday Night Lights was written about. Fun fact.
Oh, wow.
Look at that. Added perspective. Elijah Campbell, folks. I want to talk to you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. I've been talking about them for years because I've been going there for years, and a lot of you have as well. They've been around in this market since 2007, helping a lot of you improve your quality of life. And who doesn't want that? Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board certified physician over there. His wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff would love to help you in a variety of areas. Maybe you haven't been feeling yourself lately. You've been feeling off, feeling sluggish, or you've had mood swings. Maybe there's something going on. Go in there and check your get your levels checked. Hormone replacement therapy. Maybe that is affecting you with what's going on. As you get older, sometimes your levels can dip, and sometimes they can dip way too low. That can really affect those things that I was talking about. But they can help you. They can get you going in the right direction. Face and body rejuvenation is something that they would love to talk to you about. Weight loss management, which is always important, but especially in 2020. They've got programs and people that can get you going in the right direction. These are just some of the things that they house under one roof. If you would like to schedule an appointment or a consultation with these folks, here's the number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always learn everything about them by going to their website, coolspringsmd.com.
This is the end, beautiful friend.
Hey, Titans fans, if you're looking for a place to hang on Sunday, Corner Pub is the place you need to be. They got locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, and downtown. They got great beer specials, including a dollar off Yazoo and Happen Harry's draft beers, plus Happen Harry's bucket specials. Don't forget the pregame show will be at the one downtown, Corner Pub Downtown, which is 151 Fifth Avenue North, this Sunday. And, of course, that will be aired right here on 102.5 The Game from 9:30 until 11:30 a.m. leading up to kickoff between the Browns and the Steelers. Browns and the Titans over at Nissan Stadium. Pregame show, of course, will have Jarrett Stillman, Floyd Reese, the GM, and forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. And that's brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. Remember, Corner Pub Downtown this Sunday. Corner Pub locations will be following social distancing and safety guidelines. Also tonight on tap, starting at 7 o'clock, be a lot of fun. We had JP Dumont in the first hour of the program. He is the head coach, former Predator, of Montgomery Bell Academy, MBA, and Father Ryan. I will have pregame for you starting at 7 o'clock. Puck drop is at 7:30 at Fordyce Center in Bellevue. MBA, Father Ryan, heard right here on these airwaves, Pete Weber and Hal Gill on the call. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and hope a lot of you get to check it out, either being there or listening. And, of course, Stephen Henry is the coach for Father Ryan, and that, of course, is the son of one Sean Henry, who's the president and CEO of the Predators. Willie, on your side, what can you tell people?
Well, if you just tune in, if you want to watch the live stream of the game, just go to NashvillePredators.com, and you'll be able to see the game there. And Chris Mason and I will have the commentary. Lindsay Rally will be ringside, as she customarily is. She'll do some interviews with the coaches, I believe the captains at the end of the game. So we're going to try to go all in. We're going to try to make it as much like an NHL broadcast as we can. We want to showcase the high school players. And also, on top of that, the game presentation is going to be as similar as we can make it to Smashville. It's not Smashville. We know there's limitations on how many people they're going to let in. It's only family, I think. But as far as the game presentation, the music, the goal song, the introduction of the starting lineups, Paul McCann, anthem singer, it's going to be as Smashville as we can possibly make it. So we're going to put on a show.
All right, check that out tonight. Should be a lot of fun and pretty cool to get a little recognition for high school hockey in this area. We know that, unfortunately, Sunday night, Nashville SC's season came to an end in Columbus, Ohio, in extra time. The Crew ending Nashville SC's run and trying to maybe secure an MLS Cup in their first season. It didn't happen. But it looks like today, Chase, there's some news out on future what the roster will look like next season.
Yeah, and it's going to look similar. They did exercise options. They had some contract options on a handful of players, including Jahlil Anibaba, Alistair Johnston, Brian Anunga, Hindwala Buwana, Matt LaGrassa, Luke Hakenson, Taylor Washington, Dominic Baji, Abu Dunlady, say that three times fast, and Daniel Rios. So some important players there that they exercised their options on. But the big news is contract extensions for goalkeeper Joe Willis, who was lights out for them in year one.
Good. And, yeah, 11 awesome. Shutouts, we'll get that.
Yeah. Yeah, or clean sheets, as they call them. And then defender Dave Romney extended him as well, and that is in addition to the already announced Walker Zimmerman contract extension. And so this is considered to be the best expansion defense in MLS history. All three of those guys get locked up for Nashville SC. So the roster is going to look very similar. You know they're going to probably make some tweaks here or there. There are a couple of names that were not extended, but it's all starting to come together, and you can tell that Mike Jacobs and company, they are already working hard to get next year's team ready to go.
They've got a nucleus now.
Yep.
Which is a great thing to be able to say at the end of the first year.
Yeah, and I mean, and that starts with Gary Smith, too. I mean, you can tell there's been a buy-in with these guys, and, you know, even somebody like Jander Cadiz, who I don't think we really saw the true potential that he has just because of, you know, conditioning, and so he wasn't available for full games, and more time with him, and he's alone, but more time with him is going to be really good as well, because I think he can make a big difference.
I wonder what would have happened if that one shot they had in the first half that hit the crossbar and bounced straight down.
Yeah.
If that somehow goes, if they could have protected the 1-0 lead, because we, like you just said, the defense is their calling card. If they had the lead in that game, I wonder if they'd still be playing.
Yeah,
and as it was, it took, what, 200 minutes or something for somebody to score against them in the playoffs.
Well, and I think you have to go further back, too. I mean, if that game against Toronto, if they don't have those offside calls, if some of those goals count and it doesn't have to go to extra time, you know, are they – were they a little more rested going up against Columbus? Because that certainly played a factor. I mean, you watch going into extra time again against Columbus, their legs were heavy, and you could tell that it really made a difference. I'm not saying that as an excuse, but it's just a fact. And so, you know, that's the game you play, though. If you get a certain bounce one way or a shot goes in, it could just change the whole thing.
Isn't there going to be an expansion draft here soon? Isn't Austin getting an MLS yeah. team?
Yep, they are.
And so they're going to be taking players off rosters, correct, this month?
Is Nashville exempt from that?
In a couple of weeks. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
I don't know if they are. I would think they might be.
I think it would make sense for them to be. I don't know why they should.
Like, isn't Vegas going to be exempt from Am I dreaming that, or is that right, that they're going to be exempt from the expansion draft that's coming up in the NHL?
It's a good question. I don't know the answer.
For some reason,
But Nashville's only been in the league for 1 year. The Vegas right. Golden Knights have been in the league for, what's this going to be, their fourth year coming up?
Year four.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I'd have to look into that. It's a good question. But, yes, they're, you know, because the MLS keeps – they've added –
And I don't know how that works. I don't know if this is why there's a race to get these deals done. I don't know if that takes those players off the table. I'm not sure how the expansion draft works in MLS. So that's why I was asking. So,
yeah,
anyway, good job well done by Nashville SC. Great first season for them in MLS play, for sure. Expectations will be high. Hopefully they'll be able to – next season in 2021, just get more fans in the stands and let people really appreciate the atmosphere that is around that sport.
Well, I was talking to Tony Husband, the TV play-by-play, after the game the other night, and he and I didn't realize this at the time because, you know, we had the Preds game that night. He didn't get to do the first game, so he didn't get to see that atmosphere in Nissan Stadium. He was still in the UK, coming over. John Freeman was on the call on radio for that, so he hasn't even gotten to experience the crazy atmosphere for Nashville SC yet, because it only happened, you know, the one time before COVID.
I thought Dan Orlovsky said something really interesting. I think it was yesterday I heard him say that on Get Up. He said Carson Wentz would not be the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles right now if fans were allowed in the stands. And, you know, wow. Everybody was like, what? He's like, because in Philadelphia, they would have been booing him every play.
I have
series.
Had that thought.
And
they've
he
had
said
so many
they would
ugly
have booed him.
There.
They would have forced them to pull him out of there because it would have been a nightmare for home games. And I was like, wow, I didn't even really think about that.
I mean, like every home game, you could
have been a nightmare
how
for him.
Ugly
yes.
The fans would have gotten there. Holy cow, they are hard to watch.
Dan Orlovsky will join the morning show tomorrow.
He's got opinions. I'll give him that. He does. Has got opinions.
That'll do it for our show today. Have a great rest of your day. Be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then. Stay
here. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.